Blog Talk Radio.
Round one. Fight.
Welcome to The Balance. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. Welcome to another episode of this show we call The Balance. You have stumbled across the number one internet sports talk show in the world. The one, the only show that guides you, the sports fanatic, through this crazy world of sports. My name is Tom Marquis. You call me El Presidente. That's because you are my minions. And to become a minion, it is very, very easy. All you've got to do is go to Twitter, go to @TBalance and hit follow. It is that easy. We don't require anything, no credit background checks or anything. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view, and that would be you. We bring you breaking news, commentary, scores, stats, standing, audio highlights, and a lot of BS right here on The Balance. 917-889-8516 is my digit if you want to call and talk in. Of course, if you're listening to us on our podcast format, well, hear what they say, S-O-L, up a creek without a paddle. So why not listen to us live here on Saturday morning? Then you can call in, and then you can interact with me. And you can ask the great one serious questions. Now, in all seriousness, though, it is good to have you along with us as we do this thing every Saturday morning right here on Blog Talk Radio, which is our facilitator and guide us across this great land of the United States of America. And then, of course, on our affiliate radio stations and as well as iTunes in the podcast format. So no matter how you're finding some time to listen to us today, so glad that you are on board with us. Now, a little bit different of a format today. I'm going to run the NASCAR Rearview, which is typically the intro to typically the intro to the NASCAR or racing format, if you will. But unfortunately is the right word to use. Steve Wilson of Speedway Digest is not going to be able to join us today. He is actually kind of down in the middle of this hurricane. You may have been hearing about Hurricane Matthews, and I know that he's dealing with some issues with that. And so we're not going to be able to have him on, and I know NASCAR's kind of pushed everything back and put it on a hold and put it in a holding pattern because of this hurricane. And I tell you what, this is a pretty massive storm. My son lives down in North Carolina and talked with him a little bit. He's like, oh, don't worry about it, Dad. We'll get nothing but rain. And that's how it panned out for him in North Carolina. But, you know, what we still got to look at is that this is a very massive storm pattern, and I know that it's as we went on the air today, I just saw that it's been downgraded to or will be or can be here very soon downgraded to a tropical depression. And that's great that the storm is starting to level itself out and certainly didn't cause the kind of catastrophic destruction that we were expecting. And, you know, a lot of people thought, well, a lot of media hype going on. But, you know, when these storms come, you've got to take them very, very seriously. So NASCAR did that, obviously, and there's been some changes in the NFL schedules and stuff and college football schedules as well because of this storm. So a long story short, what has happened is Steve Wilson of Speedway Digest is in the middle of all of that. So he's not going to be able to join us. But we are going to run the NASCAR thing. And, of course, we've got the round of 12, which is now ready to go. And so, you know, Kyle Larson in, Busch are out. What a good race that was last week out in Dover. And as we saw the cuts, if you will, the final cuts with NASCAR. And then also coming up here in just a few moments, we've got Rick Reagan of Option Pitch. We're going to be talking some Notre Dame football. And they got a well-needed and well-deserved and must-needed win out in Syracuse last week. And I was on his show, this Option Pitch, this past week, and we talked about the coach's hot seat. So we'll probably continue that conversation, and we're going to feature the Big 12 today. Of course, talk a little bit about the NFL. And this week, the Colts have returned safely across the pond. I bet you that was a long flight. No pun intended, because it would be a long flight because they were flying back from London. But it was a long flight in spite of it all. And so we'll kind of break down that Jacksonville Colts game. But, you know, that game is over with. It is time to look forward to the Chicago Bears, which is going to be here at Lucas Oil Stadium this weekend, tomorrow. And the Bears are in town and to face the Indianapolis Colts. And the Colts need a win. The Bears need a win. So we'll see how it pans out. Honestly, quite frankly, it's gotten to be quite a circus with the Indianapolis Colts. Who do we blame? Do we blame Gregson? Do we blame Irsay? Do we blame Chuck Pagano? Do we blame players? I don't know. We'll get into that conversation. We'll talk about all of that. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We'll be right back right after this. And then we'll go right after the break. We'll go right into the NASCAR rear view so we get you caught up on NASCAR. And then myself and Rick Reagan from Option Pitch will be on, and we'll be talking some Notre Dame football, the Big 12, and some NFL as well. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, Tom Bodette spreading the word about Motel 6's cool new hashtag. It's all about the thrilling stuff you can do with the money you save at Motel 6 instead of some expensive hotel with a lot of fancy stuff you don't need. Thrills, not frills. Just post all those thrill pics you take on your summer travels with the hashtag thrills, not frills. Boom. I mean, hashtag boom. Hashtag this is awesome. I'm Tom Bodette for hashtag Motel 6 and hashtag we'll leave the light on for you.
Bobby, you here again?
Yeah, my doctor told me to reduce stress at work, so I come to Buffalo Wild Wings to eat lunch and watch sports. I get to pick one of seven entrees, like sandwiches and salads, plus one of seven sides.
Well, I like sides.
It's so affordable, I can finally take a vacation.
Where are you going to go?
Here, Tim, here.
Introducing the new B-Dubs Fast Break Lunch Menu, starting at a new low price. Dine in or order takeout weekdays between 11 and 2. Participation and availability may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Fantasy football fans, who doesn't love the excitement of picking your team? Well, you can do that any week when you play in one-week fantasy football leagues at FanDuel.com. You play for real money with immediate cash payouts, and there's no season-long commitment. Right now, FanDuel is giving you a bonus of up to $200 that gets earned as you play. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200. Click on the banner or go to FanDuel.com. That's FanDuel.com.
With a Sam's Club membership, you get incredible savings every time you shop. Now's your chance to see what it means to save like a member. Hurry into Sam's Club and get a free 60-day trial membership pass. Shop and save on great brands for your home, fresh produce, and USDA Grade A meat. You'll even get a savings book with over $5,000 in additional savings. Don't miss out on a free Sam's Club 60-day trial membership pass. Join and save. Sam's Club. Life is better when you're in the club. See club for details.
Ah, I forgot to turn on my mic. Thanks, Mr. Rick Riggin, in the green room there for letting me know that. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Well, that happens from time to time. And so I get you caught back up here. We're going to go ahead and go to our NASCAR in review, Steve Wilson, which is normally here with us on this time of the day, is dealing with some stuff with Hurricane Matthews, and he is safe, but he is in the neck of the woods where it was a very, very real part of his life, and NASCAR obviously has postponed some races. I don't know that they're going to get any of them in today out there in Charlotte. They might, probably more likely tomorrow. And of course, you know, now we begin the round of 12, round of 16 that we saw happen last week. And so we're going to go to the NASCAR rear view and go with that, and then we'll be back with Rick Riggin of Option Pitch, which now Rick Riggin is now officially my engineer. We'll be right back right after this.
We saw an underdog win in Vegas, Suarez stretch his legs in Dover, and the first round of cuts in the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup. I'm Kasha Merrifield here in the Fan and Media Engagement Center, and this is Rearview Mirror. The second NASCAR Camping World Truck Series chase race went green in Vegas, and that means drivers were up all night to get lucky. Teammates Tyler Reddick and Daniel Hemric were up front late, but only one of those drivers was in the chase. So naturally, non-chaser Reddick is the one that ended up in victory lane. And now, the word of the week.
Running on top of the rubber.
Ball of rubber.
Rubber up.
No rubber was on the track.
Rubber.
The rubber.
Came in rubber.
It's going to rubber up.
That rubber.
Wash the rubber off.
Rubbered in. Back rubbered in.
After being rained out on Saturday, the NASCAR Xfinity Series kicked off a doubleheader on Sunday. Since some of the big-name Sprint Cup Series drivers didn't feel like running 600 miles on Sunday, that put Xfinity Series chasers in the running, and that's exactly what Daniel Suarez did. He ran away with his second career Xfinity Series win, and he figured he made it this far, so why not run a little more? He just wanted to make sure he got his steps in. His teammate, Eric Jones, on the other hand, is currently on the outside of the chase looking in. Anyone see that one coming?
It's just something that I would have never saw coming.
The first elimination race in the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup meant that four of the drivers would not be making it into the round of 12. Rookie Chris Buescher and three-time series champion Tony Stewart, well, at least there's always a next year. For Buescher, at least. Bad breaks for both drivers from Chip Ganassi Racing, Kyle Larson and Jamie McMurray, as they were also eliminated, but that meant it was Christmas in October for Austin Dillon.
Nice little Christmas present for Austin there by both Ganassi cars.
Dillon would finish eighth and secure the final spot in the round of 12. As for the top spot, that goes to Martin Truex Jr. as he dominated in Dover and got his fourth win of 2016. That'll do it for this week's edition of Rearview Mirror. Make sure to check back next week as NASCAR makes the long trip to Charlotte. Well, for Furniture Row Racing anyway.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
People know me as
Junior race car driver. But there's more to me than that. At my office, they call me Boss Man. I scout the talent, close the deals, do it all with a firm handshake. Gentlemen, to others, I'm Water Cooler Dale.
Well, I got this new chair. I had it for a couple weeks. Somebody keeps lowering it.
God dang it. I mean, I reset it to where I want it, and I go back to my office, and I sit down, and it's lower.
No, someone's lowering it.
For protecting my small business and more, Nationwide is on your side. People know me as Dale Earnhardt Jr. race car driver, but there's more to me than that. At my office, they call me Boss Man. I scout the talent, close the deals, do it all with a firm handshake. Gentlemen, to others, I'm Water Cooler Dale.
Well, I got this new chair. I had it for a couple weeks. Somebody keeps lowering it.
God dang it. I mean, I reset it to where I want it, and I go back to my office, and I sit down, and it's lower.
No, someone's lowering it.
For protecting my small business and more, Nationwide is on your side.
Struggling Irish of Notre Dame. And he'll throw on first down. All day in the pocket and delivers a strike. Equanimeous St. Brown has a step, breaks a tackle. How's that to start things off for the Fighting Irish? Blocked extra point. That's a free ball. Jerron Jones blocked it. Scooping it up is Cole Luke. He's down the sideline. Notre Dame adds to their lead. On third down, the Syracuse get off the field. Kaiser floats one down the sideline looking for St. Brown. He's got it again. Another touchdown for Equanimeous St. Brown. DJ Sanders down the sideline. Are you kidding me?
No.
We have not yet played 5 minutes. A special teams touchdown. Kaiser doesn't see the rush coming, gets it away. In stride to Josh Adams, hurdles a man. First and goal. The second run turns out to be a walk-in touchdown. Perfect fake from Deshaun Kaiser. And it's a two-score lead for the Irish once again. They just punt it down inside the five-yard line. Is it saved? What a play by the special teams group for the Irish. What a punt from Tyler Newsome. Kaiser off play action, looking for the home run, out in front, drops it in perfectly to the freshman, Kevin Stepherson, for a walk-in touchdown. Little zone read to Dexter Williams, he reverses field, finds a lane, he might be gone. Touchdown. So Brian Kelly's team with an opportunity to chest bump a bit today as they win 50-33 over Syracuse.
All right, and welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Mark Wassell, Presidente. Well, we just kind of rounded everything up. We got all caught up with NASCAR and what was happening with there. You know, unfortunately, we weren't able to have Steve Wilson on with us, who normally is on with us, but he's dealing with some issues and stuff from the hurricane. And so certainly very, very, very important. And also on the other side of it, NASCAR has pushed everything back. So really the only thing we could do is kind of talk about what happened last week. So rear view rear-view look was the best option. Of course, we run that every week anyway. And then, of course, we ran our highlights of the last week's NASCAR – I mean, Notre Dame and Syracuse, a well-needed win for the Irish. Joining us, as always, on this time of the day – well, not actually, it's a little bit earlier today because we're not doing our NASCAR segment. It's Rick Riggin of Option Pitch. How are you doing, sir?
Pretty good. I think the question is, how are you doing? Sounds like there's a couple of gremlins on the show this morning.
Oh, my goodness sakes. You know, I because of the way we do things, you know, I've got a lot of things. I multitask and stuff. I always turn my mic off so that there's nothing in the background that comes over the air when the spots are running or when the interviews are talking and that sort of thing. And sometimes I just forget to turn it back on, and I appreciate you being in the green room and telling me, because I would have just rambled on. You know, I don't look at these little lights that are blinking and stuff, and I just I didn't turn my mic back on. So you heard the opening dialogue.
Well, it's not the first time. It's not the first time on the show, and you've been talking to yourself.
Yeah, you could bet that it's going to happen about once a week. So if you're a safe bettor and you want to put the money down in Vegas, it's going to happen about once a week. But you heard the opening dialogue, right?
No, did not.
you mean from the time that we went live? You mean when you signed on? Because I don't know this. Now we'll just have to do some on the air engineering. When you came into the studio or the green room, you couldn't hear anything.
When I came in, actually, you were at the tail end of talking about the Indianapolis Colts, and then it went to the commercial break, and then after the break,
there was
nothing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, you may not have heard the opening dialogue, but at least it was aired. Okay. All right.
It was aired.
Yeah. Cleared up. We good. Well, who else is good? I tell you who else is good, at least for the moment, at least for this last week. Anyway, they've got another game this week. But let's talk a little bit about Notre Dame. Notre Dame gets a well-needed win against Syracuse. As we talked about this game and certainly before this game, we talked about it last week on this show, and then we talked about the post game on your show on Wednesday, which, by the way, had a great time on your show on Wednesday. And
Thank you.
We had a good time. So, talk with us about that.
About my show or the Irish game?
Yeah, both, if you want to.
All right. Well, you know, on my show, The Option Pitch, you know, of course, you came on as a guest for me for a change, and we got into this game a little bit, and I kind of expressed my displeasure still giving up 33 points to Syracuse, and most of that was done in the first half. Because actually defensively in the second half of that game, which nobody's really brought this up, the Irish only gave up 6 points to Syracuse in the second half. So I think that's something that their defense can build on for this week, which the game is at 11 o'clock Central, 12 noon. I think this game this week against NC State was actually pushed up. So I thought a couple weeks ago it was a primetime game, and I'm thinking maybe they pushed it up because of the hurricane threat for the Carolinas. But I think their defense, just what they did in that second half, is something they can build on for NC State this week.
Right, absolutely. And you know what? I got sidetracked a little bit, and I wanted to kind of talk about some high school football. So we'll kind of get back to where these gremlins got me off. Got me off target. So I tell you what, real quickly, I've got to deal with another gremlin real quickly. So go ahead, Rick. I'll let you go ahead and talk about some high school football and talk about the Notre Dame in North Carolina, and I'll be right back, sir.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom, for throwing me on the spot there. I really haven't covered the high school football here in Evansville for the past couple weeks, but I do know.
Sorry about that. You know, I'll be honest, my gremlin is my son called, and he's out there in North Carolina, and he's right out there in the midst of all the stuff that's going on. And I texted him when the phone was ringing, and I said, you know, everything okay? He said, nope. So I've got to deal with that. So I'm going to have you deal with this while I deal with that real quick.
Well, no worries. Go ahead. I can take care of it. I can drive the ship
right
for a couple of minutes. All
right,
we'll get back into the Irish. You know, that I think Deshaun Kizer, and what's mind-blowing to me, and we cover this on the option pitch Wednesday night on my show, that it's mind-blowing to me that Todd McShay has Deshaun Kizer as the number one rated quarterback right now in college football. He'll be the first guy taken if he was to enter the NFL draft. You know, he'd be the first quarterback taken in the draft and the number 18 player overall in all of college football. And I think a lot of that has to do with it's just how terrible the defense for the Irish has been this year and putting all that pressure on Deshaun Kizer and forcing him to keep the Irish in ball games. And he's looked outstanding doing it. He's put the entire team on his shoulders, and maybe that's what Todd McShay is really looking at, you know, his numbers and what he's able to do keeping the Irish in these games because of their lackluster defense. But I do think this week against NC State, I think the Irish defense is going to look a lot better. Of course, they fired Brian Van Gorder, and then they had to quickly bring in Greg Hudson and strip everything down defensively and just run some kind of basic looks on defense last week against strip everything down and run some basic defense last week against Syracuse. So I think this week against NC State, you're actually going to see them play a little more aggressively. I think they've gone back to more the Bob Diaco 3-4 defense, let the linebackers that really frees up the linebackers. And you saw that last week with Miles Morgan. It seemed like Miles Morgan was in every single play. I think that 3-4 allows the linebackers to run free. I think that's the way Notre Dame is really built. Whatever it was that Brian Van Gorder was running, you know, some kind of fancy NFL pressure scheme that just never really caught on and never really worked. I do think Notre Dame is more suited for the 3-4, and that's what you're going to see more of this week against NC State. NC State is 3-1, but they've beaten William & Mary. They lost to East Carolina. They've beaten Old Dominion, and they've beaten Wake Forest. NC State has not seen a team as big or physical or as fast as Notre Dame. Notre Dame is only a 2.5-point favorite in this game, but I do think they'll go into NC State this week and kind of win easily. I think the defense is going to play better, and the offense, Notre Dame, man, they got some dudes. So the offense is still going to be fairly impressive against NC State. I'm thinking the Irish probably they're only a 2-point favorite, but I'm going to say they're going to win by about 2 or 3 touchdowns. So, Tom, are you back? Tom is not back. So, I guess I'll just go ahead and plug my show. Then this coming Wednesday on the option pitch comes on 7 o'clock Central at Central Time, 8 Eastern, every Wednesday nights. One of my main topics I'm going to talk about is we got in a little bit of this last week, but I thought it was a great talking point, and I think one of my main topics for this week's coming show is going to be the Big 12 expansion and some who fits, who doesn't fit. These teams we're going to talk about, what are the rumors, does it make sense for these teams to leave the conference they're at or not make sense, or geographically does it make sense. So I think that's really cool. Show topic, and then of course we'll have some big games we'll break down. I do have a guest lined up for this Wednesday, and probably talk a little Notre Dame football if I know who my guest is. So should be a good show Wednesday. It's the option pitch, comes on at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. Still no Tom. All right, Tom, you back?
Okay. I
here we go.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, got you.
All right. So I apologize, and I'll talk to you off mic there, Rick, about that hiccup there. So, but thank you for being a great co-pilot and stepping right in. So
That was just 5 minutes of me breaking down this week's game against NC State. It's just 5 minutes. It's like I told you Wednesday, it's like one big long run-on sentence. That's all that was about Notre Dame and breaking that down against NC State this week. And also plug my show on your show.
Well, go ahead. Plug away, sir. Plug her in. That's completely okay. Well, you know, we were going to – We're going to talk a little bit about the Big 12 today. So go ahead and talk with me a little bit about that. I got some feedback in my ears as if.
Well, one of the things I was going to one of the things I did bring up when you was gone is, you know, I actually hear that feedback too.
Yeah, I'm trying to fix it.
Yeah.
What about, is it gone? Is it gone now?
Yeah, I don't hear it now.
I still hear it. Hold on. Okay, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Oh, anyway, okay. You can deal with that.
I hope we got everything going on. So one thing to another. We're sure the hurricane hasn't made it to Indianapolis.
I think it has. But something's happened here. We're at least probably getting an outer band of it.
An outer band of something. Yeah, so the Big 12, you know, let's talk a little bit about the Big 12. And you broke down today's game against Notre Dame in North Carolina. So for me and maybe for others that didn't hear that part of it, let's just kind of recap that game and kind of get ourselves back in motion here after that little bit of a hiccup there. So basically, Notre Dame goes to Syracuse, gets a huge win out there in Syracuse, and maybe cools down the seat of Coach Kelly just a little bit. And we talked about that coaching carousel as well on your show. Go into to North Carolina. So talk with us a little bit about, you know, let's kind of break down that game a little bit if you want, because I want to make sure that we've got everything covered. Actually, I just want to make sure that I'm back on my notes again so that I can make the smoothest transaction. Now, we talked about the weather. We talked about Hurricane Matthews, and we talked about that being an issue. And certainly it appeared at first that it was certainly headed right toward Raleigh. But it looks like now that the worst of it's going to be rain and lots of it. So the Irish have some experience with that. Do you think the weather's even going to be an element for today's game against the Wolfpack?
I think it will be. And if you remember the game last year against Clemson, where that was played in some kind of tropical storm or just on the outskirts of that, and they had a ton of rain there at Clemson. Seems like every time Notre Dame goes to the Carolinas and Plains, they're going to play in about a foot of rainfall. So I think it's going to play a factor for both teams. But what I was saying with NC State is they come into the game ranked, you know, not ranked, but they're 3-1. But the wins are against William & Mary, Old Dominion, and Wake Forest. Their loss is East Carolina. NC State hasn't seen a team yet with the size and speed. And I know Notre Dame has had their struggles on defense, but NC State hasn't seen a team this year yet with the athletes that Notre Dame has. And I think that's really the big advantage for Notre Dame this week, because I think defensively they're going to play a lot better. We saw it in the second half last week. They only gave up 6 points to Syracuse. I think they're going to play a lot better. Now they had an extra week with Greg Hudson and opening that 3-4 defense up. You know, it's a base 3-4. That allows the linebackers to run free. We saw Niles Morgan get a ton of tackles in this defense. And I think this defense, this fits Notre Dame a lot better with the athletes they have. And, I mean, they're still learning the defense. NC State, it has some athletes. They're still going to score some points. But I think we're going to see a much better, a much more prepared Notre Dame team this week.
Well, you mentioned that about the defense. So where does the Irish defense go from here? Notre Dame's win against Syracuse at least permitted the Irish defense to be effective or at least cure some of its wounds. Now with the new defensive coordinator Greg Hudson in place for multiple weeks of preparation with head coach Brian Kelly, How do you look at the defense now? How do you rate the defense now? Or do you have even a different opinion? I mean, it was just one win, but to the Irish, it's, you know, and one that was really needed was a big win.
Yeah, I'm not sure my opinion yet. But what I will say is that just watching the Syracuse game, that the defense was just totally stripped of what Brian Van Gorder has been doing. But, you know, I don't even know what his scheme is. He just says he's a pressure guy. Well, they just went 3-4 last week. You know, your basic 3-4 defense, every now and then they would send like a fourth pass rusher. They were rushing to get to the quarterback with just three guys last week. And I think we're going to see more of that this week. Just a stripped-down version of 3-4, a very basic scheme, and let the guys be athletes and fly around the field and not overthink where they're going to have to be, you know, position-wise, you know, because they're trying to cover guys one-on-one, and you got a guy that's supposed to be rushing the passer, and he's not rushing, and all these guys are just totally out of position with Brian Van Gorder this year. And I think we're going to see a lot of four, a lot of zone coverage. If they can get to the quarterback with just three guys like they were last week, it's going to allow the Irish just to fly around the field on defense this week.
Well, we'll see, and hopefully that'll create some more fun and more participation. You know, Coach Kelly last week promised lots more players involved on the field and on defense and more passion and emotion from all. And I think he delivered that in the Meadowlands, and that's, you know, that's what a victory will do for them. You know, Kelly in the secondary and Coach Todd Light took players like freshman Tony Pride and sophomore Nico Ferretto, who had hardly been factors so far in the 2016, put them in the game and allowed them to do something. And Kaiser, you mentioned Kaiser, and the offense are trending in the right direction. And we know that it's only a single game, but it's a big game, and maybe they've turned the page for this season.
Yeah, that's one thing that the Irish don't have to worry about is that offense. And Equanimee St. Brown's coming out party was last week. They only had two or three catches in the first quarter, and with about 160 yards and a touchdown, or two touchdowns, just first two or three catches. You're going to see more of him, and once you try to double cover him, then you'll forget about Torrey Hunter Jr. on the other side of the field. So they have a ton of weapons, ton of dudes on offense. I'm not sure what's going on with the running game. Now, they did pick it up some against NC State last week, but that offensive line is one of the better offensive lines in the country. The running game is going to have to pick up, but you don't have to worry about the Irish offense. They're going to score their 40 or 50 a game. So I think the way that if the season is gone, Kelly's not going to take any prisoners when it comes to scoring points on the offense. You know, not going to let the foot off the gas. You know, they put up 50 last week in Syracuse, and I think this week they're probably going to do about the same thing.
Well, we'll see exactly what happens, and we'll see how big of a factor the weather comes into play in today's game. I think it's still going on. I know there was some talk about moving it to South Bend, but I do believe that they'll just be dealing with some rain there, which is a huge thing for I mean, not huge, but it's better than the other part of it all, I guess, if you will. So let's talk a little bit about the Big 12. What's going on in the Big 12 today, sir?
Oh, the big game that you need to be worried about in the Big 12 today is Texas and Oklahoma, and we talked about this on the option pitch this past Wednesday, that I think this is the loser leaves town match between Charlie Strong and Bob Stoops.
Well, certainly Strong's insecurity adds spice to the Red River rivalry. Isn't that what they call it, the Red River rivalry?
That is what they used to call it, but that's such a tongue twister. Now it's called the Red River Showdown.
Okay, Red River Showdown. You're right, that is a tongue twister. That's almost as bad as your the original name of your show. You know, a lot of according to the ESPN matchup predictor, 76.4% of people think Oklahoma will beat Texas. 23.6% think that Texas will beat Oklahoma. So that said, as you said, loser leaves town. Let's talk about it on both ends there. I mean, let's talk about what does Texas have to do to beat Oklahoma? What does Oklahoma have to do to beat Texas?
Texas is going to have to really, and I mean the emphasis on the word really, step it up on defense. And if it's really hard to imagine, but I think they start off the year even worse on defense than Notre Dame has. And that is really saying something if you're Charlie Strong, because Charlie Strong is a defensive-minded head coach. I mean, he plays great defense, and this year they're just not getting it done. And then their losses, they're giving up 45, 50 points to Cal and Oklahoma State, and they even gave up 47, but ended up beating Notre Dame. If they do this against Oklahoma, if this is the type of defense they're going to play against Oklahoma, Oklahoma's probably going to put up 60 on them. So this is really – if the Texas defense is going to have to show up for Texas to stay in this game.
Well, so we're calling it the Red River rivalry now between Texas and Oklahoma. You're right. That does flow off the tongue a little bit better. What do you think this game – what does this game mean to the players? What do you think when we look at, some great coaches, for example, from Texas and from Oklahoma, and players from Texas and Oklahoma, what do you think – you know, I guess we could maybe – well, there's really no comparison, but maybe we could compare it to Purdue and Indiana and the old Oaken Bucket. But really, this is a long-standing rivalry. So do you think – well, let's just use an example here. Let's just say that Oklahoma beats Texas, and as you said, the loser leaves and goes home. Do you think Texas will make a knee-jerk reaction, or do you think they'll – like, you know, I talked about on your show, there's really no – should not be any rush to fire Coach Strong, because he's dealing with a lot of variables that normal coaches in a normal world don't have to deal with. A lot of freshmen, a lot of inexperience, a lot of training going on, and he's a great teacher. That said, do you think that if they lose today, they make a knee-jerk reaction against Coach Strong?
I don't think they fire him today, because they almost a week ago now, after the loss last Saturday, they came out and said that they wasn't going to fire Coach Strong during the season, even if they just lose out. I mean, maybe they do fire him during the season, but they said that was one thing they were not planning on doing or wanting to do, was firing him during the middle of the season, which to me, I think that's a great thing, is not to do that, you know, and like what LSU did it to Les Miles. But, when I say I think it's the loser leaves town match, it's because Bob Stoops, you know, the Heat's getting turned up on Bob Stoops also at Oklahoma. And, you know, Texas beat them last year. If he loses twice in the 2 years in a row now to Texas, especially with Texas struggling, the way they've been struggling under Charlie Strong, it's really not going to be looking good for Bob Stoops after today either, if they lose.
You think Texas is looking for another Mac Brown?
I think they're looking for another Tom Herman. By another Tom Herman, I mean exactly Tom Herman.
But as we talked about before, you know, I know we keep saying as we've talked about before, he's going to be the hottest name in the coaching carousel this
every
year.
Every school that comes up, that he's going to be the guy everybody's going to talk to first.
right, absolutely. So, excuse me. So, what we're going to do, Rick, because I do have some things to deal with on what we talked about a while ago, I want to just kind of cap everything off, and we're going to have to kind of end the show early today. We'll make it up next week and the week after and the week after, but I've got to deal with some things on the East Coast there. But let's just kind of wrap up the Big 12, today's games, the key games. Obviously, we talked about Oklahoma and Texas. Let's wrap that up, and then we're going to have to probably call the show a day, and then I'll call you off mic here in just a few minutes. But yeah, just talk with us a little bit about the Big 12, what's going on across college football, and give us your sights and your insight and what you're working on there with the option pitch.
Yeah, well, I know you texted me earlier, we're going to do the Big 12 today, and I was like, awesome, and I actually did an error, so I didn't get to pull up the Big 12 football schedule today. I did pull up Texas-Oklahoma because that was the big one, you know, so yeah, I don't even have the Big 12 in front of me here right now.
Well, that's okay. That's not a problem. You know, so what are you guys working on for the next option pitch?
Well, when you said you wanted to do the Big 12 today, it was really cool because I do have a guest lined up for this Wednesday, and also, like, I think my main talking points, we got into some of this last week on the show when you was on there with me, is the Big 12 expansion. Who's going to fit? Who doesn't fit? Who are the rumors? What's the landscape of the Big 12 going to look like next year? I think that's going to be my main topic for next week, and also we'll break down The upcoming games of the weekend, I like to do three games, the three big games. Maybe do some Irish football and break down the big games from today.
Absolutely, and let's talk a little bit. about the Indianapolis Colts. They had a tremendous loss, a very disappointing loss, and now they're on the backside again. And we face the Bears tomorrow at home. What are your thoughts against? About the Colts and the Jaguars last week in London, and then this week against the Chicago Bears.
Well, it really just wasn't that much fun of a game to watch all the way around. Even if it went the Colts' way, it was really a lackluster game. I don't know what's going on with the Colts. I don't know if it's coaching or what it is. They should definitely be a lot better than they are. Other than T.Y. Hilton, I don't know who the big producer is on the offensive side other than Frank Gore and T.Y. Hilton. I think Andrew needs some more weapons around him. That's what it looks like to me. I think the offensive line at times is showing that they're better this year. But now Andrew it's almost like a lack of weapons, That's what it looks like anyway.
Right, and I don't think he's got the right protection. And I wanted to kind of get into that blame game today. Do we blame Irsay? Do we blame Pagano? Do we blame Rigson? Do we blame the players? But we just don't have time to do that because I do have to deal with some of that stuff. I think I texted you. I'm not sure, but I think I did. I met this week. I met Matt Dooley, which was the former long snapper for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Actually, he got cut after the second preseason game this year with the Pittsburgh Steelers, looking for another team. And I had a chance to talk with him a little bit this week, and I think he's going to try to be on the show next week with us. So to talk some NFL and so forth. So yeah, that was a good opportunity to meet him.
Yeah, definitely.
So, excuse me. So what we're going to do is, unfortunately, we do have to cut the show short. And I do apologize, and I promise you we'll make everything up to everybody. But we've just got a lot going on. So, Rick, any final thoughts or words of wisdom, sir?
No, I just my show's @OptionPitch on Twitter @Riggin_Ricks. Be on Twitter, and my show, The Option Pitch, comes on Wednesday night, 7 to 7 o'clock Central.
All right, buddy. We'll catch you on a few, and I'll text you and talk to you here in a few about the gremlins that happened on the show today, sir. You have yourself a good
sure
day.
Thing. You too.
Right, we'll see you. Rick Riggin of Option Pitch joining us, talking with us a little bit about Notre Dame football. And I do apologize that we do have to cut this show short. We've got a lot going on behind the scenes right now, but I promise you we'll have everything fixed and ready to go next week. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Remember, don't drink and drive, it ain't cool. We'll see you on Saturday.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.